Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Paul suspended from YouTube for a week, 7 full days. The company saying that these false comments about masks from the senator is why.
Most of the masks you get over the counter don't work. They don't prevent infection. Trying to shape human behavior isn't the same as following the actual science, which tells us that cloth masks don't work.
Senator Paul then tweeting, quote, a badge of honor, left-wing cretins at YouTube banning me for 7 days for a video that quotes two peer-reviewed articles saying cloth masks don't work.
There you go. CNN's Erin Burnett. You know, I don't know if she's actually acknowledging that they're, well, she did mention peer-reviewed literature on cloth masks not working. I didn't see more of that in case she was actually kind to Rand Paul. Not, they don't do that on CNN much. We do have a clip coming up as we bring Jonathan Emord into the mix here for the Sacred Fire of Liberty Hour here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, talking about CNN acknowledging these things before it. But again, hypocrisy reigns at the Clinton News Network? I don't know what to call it anymore.
The Communist News Network,
there it
Robert.
Is. That would be it. That would be it. And Erin Burnett used to be a reporter. I'm sorry you didn't get to see that. I know we were troubleshooting behind the scenes. You've got this real cool dual monitor set up just in time for us to visit September 21st at the what do we call in the event, by the way?
Well, it's an anti-CRT event. It's it's going to be it's the Emord event, but it's the anti-CRT message that we're conveying. So it's a lot of really remarkable people from all over the United States who are coming to speak, and they're all leaders against critical race theory in the schools.
All right. So, and folks, we've been getting a trickle in of those that are in the Metro DC area or are willing to come into the area for that event. As far as I know, it looks, is it 7 to 9 in the evening? Is that still standing, or are we changing
it's
the
probably
time?
Going to be 7 to 10 just because we've added a couple of speakers in addition to the ones that we had before.
Okay.
And then there's the book signings that'll happen after the event. So I'll be signing my book. There are two other authors who will sign books.
That'll be a great evening event. So September 21, the DC metro area, we're not telling you where. But if you're a fan of the Robert Scott Bell Show and Jonathan Emord, Sacred Fire of Liberty Hour, you want to be there. Let us know if you can be, and then Super Don will send you the link to get tickets. They'll be free for you. And again, we're not opening it up to wide to the public. We don't need any people that are going to sabotage the event. We recognize what's out there in this regard. And for those people that think it's about, I guess if BLM wants to join in, say, no, this is about cathode ray tubes. It has nothing to do with what you think it's about, CRT. So they'll leave us alone. So
yeah.
We got to keep it on the fly. So anyway, we're opening just with a little bit more on the censorship issue. Rand Paul, physician, senator, he basically said, look, peer-reviewed medical literature on the mask issue, it's very clear. There's no evidence to support that it actually blocks something as small as a virus. Now, that apparently is something that, well, got him banned. But apparently, if you do that and you're with CNN or you're a leftist commentator and you acknowledge that you won't get banned. And let's just play this. And you can see this clip here. Super Don will play it now. And let's comment on this. Go ahead, Super D.
We know today that many of the face cloth covers people wear are not very effective in reducing any of the virus movement in or out.
It's really important for us to emphasize that masking does work, that
what?
Quality of masks also matters, that at this point we really should be wearing not a cloth mask, but at least a 3-ply surgical mask.
The quality of the mask does matter. So if you can get your hands on a KN95 mask or an N95 mask, that's going to afford you a lot more protection.
Well, there you go. CNN pundits are acknowledging that the cloth, just general cloth masks, don't really that work that much. And then even Leanna Wen, who is a crybaby over wherever she's at, calling about everybody should wear masks, acknowledging quality matters. But I would even argue that based on the measurements alone, as we've talked about this, 100 nanometers small, not even the N95 mask can filter out things that small. It's more for spittle. Let's just say that. If you're in a surgical theater and you're leaning over an open cavity, body cavity, you don't want debris falling in, and that's why surgeons wear it. But nobody can argue with a straight face that something that small is actually filtered out, other than if it's attached to larger debris, which means, okay, marginally with some really high-quality masks, a little bit, but CNN's not being banned for saying that.
Well, also, Robert, the expulsion of it through the mask. When you cough, when you sneeze, when you speak loudly, when you sing, if you do any of those things, it expresses the air through the mask. And as a result, there's no limitation to the spread of the virus through the mask. It's just, it's a control factor. It's a government control factor. In point of fact, masks really are not very effective. They can limit the spread of large particles, and they can also limit the spread of small particles embedded in fluid, in large, you know, fluid, large fluid droplets. Mm-hmm. But when you sneeze, you know, if you have COVID and you sneeze, it goes right through the mask. And if you cough, it goes through the mask. And if you speak loudly, it goes through the mask. So masks really are not the answer, obviously.
No, but the ban, like YouTube has banned us and many of our friends over this, it's not just what's being said, but apparently it's about who's saying it. Because basically, they acknowledged what Rand Paul was saying. There is peer-reviewed articles. This is not about, this is only about politics because we believe in freedom and they don't. But even if you were like not a believer of freedom, as you point out, it becomes not a scientific endeavor to mask people, but something else. Something else that has nothing to do with actually preventing people from getting sick.
Right. It's control. It's obviously control. And it's really repulsive when they apply this to children. It's just outrageous, given the fact that children suffer minor symptoms by and large, and that they have very poor ability to transmit the virus. It's outrageous that they're ruining the lives of children by forcing them to wear these masks all day long.
Yeah, and we've seen the battles going up in Florida with DeSantis. You know, saying, look, this is, I've already said it. You can't mandate it. If people want to wear masks, he's not prohibiting it. And it could be a parental decision. But these school boards are doing it. And he's saying, no, you can't do it. And yet Biden actually said, if he's going to dock the pay of people in his own state, we're going to try and find a way to federally substitute that money. I mean, like, where's the basis for that? Yeah. You get it.
He's a tyrant. Biden is just a buffoon.
Well,
he's a buffoon with too much power. You don't want to. Ignorance and arrogance is a bad combination. And, you know, even though Biden plays the role of this doddering old boy, he's doing some pretty malicious things to people. And he has through his whole career. So now he has the power of the presidency to do it. The only stop for that is the courts. And hopefully they'll rise to the occasion.
Well, you know, relying on the courts on many of these issues, as you know, there's an inherent bias there as well.
You bet.
Yeah, and you've been dealing with it, so you know it well. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, I we've never been one to advocate violent overthrow of anything per se, other than a violent defense of, if necessary, of attempted violence on you. Your life, liberty, or property is threatened. You have an obligation or right to defend yourself using all means you can. And we're rapidly, I don't know if it's rapidly, but we're running out of, let's say, viable options, rightful remedies, when the courts won't even hear certain cases. They dismiss them before they're even heard based on a belief, like, you know, the whole Jacobson decision, on and on it goes, applying to experimental use authorizations. And the FDA, you know, the pressure's on them to rush into, before clinical trials are done. And we've been talking about this, unprecedented if they go full licensure and authorization or approval of these experimental jabs while they're still undergoing clinical trials. I think that's going to be challenging, and, well, there'll be challenges, but problematic, because they think they can succeed then in going, well, all the people that are reluctant because there's no FDA approval will finally have it. They don't have that argument. I'm thinking, no, you still have that argument because the clinical trials are still going on.
Well, we still have the religious liberty argument for those who have a religious scruple against this vaccine, and they can exercise that. In the context of employment, if somebody is terminated because they won't wear a mask or because they aren't vaccinated and it's contrary to their religious principles, then there's actions both in civil court and through the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for discrimination based on your religion. So there is at least that. And then there's also, I think, a reasonable argument to be made under the Equal Protection Clause for those who have natural immunity, because of the evidence that natural immunity is superior to the artificial immunity from the vaccines, so that those with natural immunity should not be compelled to be vaccinated, and it's arbitrary and capricious to compel them to do so or to make that a condition precedent of their employment or continued employment.
Mm-hmm. So are we to, come to the conclusion that you mentioned the religious freedom argument. I want to ask you about the delineating, if you will, because we're doing our medical freedom meetings here, and there are doctors, sometimes lawyers will show up, freedom attorneys. And I asked this one attorney about the religious freedom argument, because some have said it's delineated. In other words, when, you know, the First Amendment talks about freedom of religion, or you say, on the basis of my religious beliefs, I will not be getting that shot. Okay. And then they say, what religion are you? And I say, well, you don't have to answer that because your religious beliefs, I think there was a Supreme Court ruling that said are your personal beliefs. In fact, it matters not if you belong to a church, synagogue, temple, mosque, whatever, that doesn't say specifically anything about vaccines. Your beliefs are personal. But he said, but when the private sector addresses that issue and they force you to get a note from your, I don't know, your bishop, whatever it is, that there seems to be a way that they interpret the Supreme Court applying it only to when government does it versus private entities. What is your perspective on that?
Well, the it's true that the Bill of Rights is designed to apply against the government. But in this instance, what we have are laws that govern employment. That is to say, the government regulates the workplace such that wrongful termination based on discriminatory actions is actionable under the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission Act. And as a consequence, they federalized the issue of termination to the extent that it discriminates. Now, as a result, you can act based on that federalization and argue against their actions. They are not allowed to exercise an employer. Mm-hmm. It's a very broad defense that's given through the EEOC to religious liberty. They're not allowed to exercise a discretionary judgment as to the relative merits of your faith, or even to inquire as to your faith or as to your morals or the sincerity of your moral convictions. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of inquiries are forbidden, and they're acts of religious discrimination.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying, it's a little bit of a difference of opinion of this local attorney. Nice man. Again, and I realize people have different perspectives on this, interpretations of it. But as I said, some people, friends of mine who have, are part of a church that doesn't really say anything about vaccines. In fact, some of the members of that church are promoting it. And he says, I have to use philosophical exemption because they're going to come and say, challenge me because my church that I'm a member of doesn't say what I believe specifically.
No, rights are individual. They're not a group right. We have no such thing as group rights in this country, except in the Biden administration and with socialism. But the point is that when you exercise a religious scruple, it's intimately personal to you, and no proper authority that may question your religious beliefs. One would be hard pressed to say that anyone with religious beliefs has agreement in lockstep on every single aspect of religion with the organized religion they affiliate with. That doesn't mean that independent of that organized religion, they may not have religious beliefs. Our religious beliefs are personal to each of us. And as a consequence, if someone exercises a religious scruple, you can't question it based on the disconnect between that and any organized religion that they happen to be affiliated with or not.
All right, so we're getting back to that perspective and principle that I've kind of aligned with. That's my perspective, in that I don't back down. My beliefs are my beliefs, even if I can share, let's say, participation in an organized religion of some kind. And like you said, and I've always said this too, even on the dogma of a belief of any religion, if you start asking detailed questions and you drill down, you're always going to find somebody interpreting it differently.
Why, when you said, I don't back down, did I hear Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in the background, Robert? And
well,
you kind of remind me of Tom Petty a little bit, Robert.
Today, with the scruffiness?
Yeah.
Well, I you know, listen, I'm going to shave and have a baby face for your event. That's my plan anyway.
Oh, okay.
I'll clean it up because I don't want to scare and intimidate anybody from being there.
Yeah. Well, I might use you as part of our security team if you keep that up, Robert.
Well, look,
I mean, we might have you out there blocking the old BLM.
Well, I'm ready for that if need be. I am ready for that. Anything I can do to help get the word out. And, of course, the plan is, as we say, is to broadcast the event live through our many network outreaches that we have. So that day, timing permitting, we're at the location. If you're okay with that, we'll broadcast earlier in the day the show live. And then we'll set up for an actual global broadcast, if you will. I'm trying to reach out to our buddy Mike Adams to see if we can get it to stream live out on Brighteon. Otherwise, it'll just be archived. But again, that's, you know, technology. We'll get there. And I'm getting some things set up for it. So it's very exciting. So I don't mean that anybody that's not in the D.C. area won't benefit from the information that's going to be disseminated that day or evening. But it's great when we can get together. That's the point of, like, why we're coming together at the Health Freedom Expo.
Well, you know, Robert, at this event, we have speakers who are really leaders in the anti-CRT movement from Maryland, from obviously from Virginia, Loudoun County, which is a real hot spot, but also from North Carolina, from Florida, from Pennsylvania, and from New York. So we have the entire Eastern Seaboard represented. So what I would say is, anyone who's listening who wants to attend along that Eastern Seaboard and wants to hop in a car and come down, you know, you're welcome to. It starts at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern, so you could just ride, you know, pretty much from any location, because it's central, Virginia is. You could ride from anywhere from New York down to Florida up.
I think we heard already some from people who would be driving in, like from Philadelphia and things. So
yeah,
we're going to hear more. And that's why I keep putting it out there for those of you who feel inclined. And you're like, wow, that's not too far. I can make it there.
And let me just say this, Robert, I can identify this location. So everybody would be parking at the Fair Oaks Marriott in Fair Oaks, Virginia, which is only about a 15-minute ride from where we will be.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we have several buses that are going to transport people, plus smaller buses that are going to be going back and forth from the venue to the Fair Oaks Marriott parking area all night long in case someone wishes to leave early or has to.
Why did I hear Lionel Richie right then when you said all night long?
I know. All night long.
That's it. We're going to have Lionel Richie's not going to be there, by the way.
No, he won't. No.
But you know, it's interesting. One of the Jacksons, by the way, is going to be at, I think it's Randy Jackson, one of the Jackson family, going to be entertaining, maybe even speaking at the Truth About Cancer live event, which is three weeks after the Health Freedom
Robert,
Expo.
At this thing on September 21st, we are actually going to have a world-renowned singer singing. He's going to sing the national anthem at the start of it. And he is a finalist in the America's Got Talent program. And he's also Fantastic. In the Marines. He's an officer in the Marines. So he's a very well noted singer, a tenor. Mm-hmm. And he's going to sing the national anthem. Also,
I was getting
Glenn
nervous
Dewey,
for a moment. I thought you were talking about me. I'm like, thank goodness, not me.
You'll be singing at the conclusion of the event, I'm sure, Robert. But also, we have Glenn Dewey, who's the professor of music at George Mason. He's in the President's Zone. He's a lead bassist in the President's Zone. But he's just going to be there with George Mason University sound crew to have fantastic sound. And we have professional lighting and so forth. It's going to be absolutely spectacularly beautiful. And then we have really good catering for it. It's quite an event.
Looking forward to it. I'll be there. And again, anybody out there in the Robert Scott Bell Show family, you know who you are, who would like to be there in attendance with us. We're going to get you free tickets, but you've got to let Super Don know that you're interested, because we're vetting everybody that attends. And if you're in this audience, I know you're in. So go to askrsb@gmail.com. Send Super Don a message.
One other thing that's nice, it's going to be outside in a real beautiful location. And people will not have to wear masks. They certainly can if they want to, but they don't have to.
Beautiful.
And,
I like to breathe freely.
We know that outside, the virus transmission rate is extremely low. And so there's no justification for requiring people to wear masks.
Well, and we also know how to strengthen our immune systems to make us less vulnerable. And I think that's another part of the message that you're not getting from anybody in the federal government. It's all about fear, fear, fear. The only thing you got is experimental shots and experimental drugs. It's not true. Many physicians, of course, acknowledge what we're talking about here, too. So it's not just an alternative.
And we might, when with Robert's broadcast, we might let Robert go viral. We might.
Right? Oh, man. Now you're talking dangerous. Now you're, that's crazy talk. Jonathan E. Mord. Yeah. How would you do that? All right. In the show notes at robertscatbell.com, you can see many of the links to the articles that we're planning to cover this hour. You've got this great shot of Jonathan from the Sacred Fire of Liberty event some years ago now. It's amazing. And we're getting closer to the next one than we are from the last one now. We're getting, I feel it. And we'll be talking about a lot of great things between now and then as well. This headline is very interesting, and it really is about keep putting our own house in order. It's a headline from AIER, I believe. We can't take on global tyranny without cleaning our own house. See, this is the problem we've got. If you think you can take care of everybody else's problems in the world and your own home is just layered with crisis or you know, the trash hasn't been taken out in years, then you got bigger problems than global tyranny. Not to say that that's not a concern, but how are you strong enough to take it on when you're crumbling from within? And this is the American Institute for Economic Research, another good article by Ethan Yang. These are very good thinkers there, Jonathan. And it's a good point that, you know, we have got to clear up and clean up what's going on in our own country here so that we can defend, you know, the principles of liberty, individual liberty, smaller government, and perhaps be a shining example for others around the world.
Yes, Robert. And when you have a contradiction that is so profound on basic principles operating in your own government. When you have Joe Biden internationally saying that he's a defender of individual rights and so forth, while at home he violates them with impunity, that hypocrisy, of course, entirely deflates the message to the world. Everyone looks at you as a fraud because it's the same, you know, Putin does the same thing. He runs around the world saying how magnificent Russia is in protection of people who are deserving of protection. So does Xi Jinping, saying that their country is a paragon of virtue and the greatest nation on earth. Well, people look at them and realize they're frauds. You have to live up to liberty. You've got to show that you defend liberty at home if you're going to say that you other people should be defending liberty abroad.
Well, it's just incredible some of the things that Biden has actually said. I'm just looking through this article, many different world leaders are quoted here about this, and I'm just trying to see if I can find the one thing that. This one's rough, but we've got to be man enough here in America to stand and look at ourselves and go, you know what, we can do a lot better. An article in the Irish Times remarked, "The world has loved, hated, and envied the U.S. Now, for the first time, we pity it." I mean, you're looking at foreign leaders looking at Biden and the presidency and America going, We feel a little bit sorry for you guys. This is just not the place.
Bet.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
stunning.
That sorrow, that feeling sorry for somebody goes away rather quickly when, because of their weakness, a foreign power takes advantage of the Europeans or us. And that's rapidly happening. This other article you have, Robert, to discuss about the oil situation, how Biden's pleading with OPEC to cut prices and make oil more available. In light of the fact that, you know, here you have Texas saying, we can solve your oil problem, Mr. President, just alone, produce more oil than you can possibly imagine. Well, his whole stupid policy to destroy the backbone of the American economy is now coming back to bite him, of course, entirely predictable. And he's got, on the one hand, his socialist creds that he has to keep up. But on the other hand, he's seeing that the entire economy could unravel and his popularity is already plummeting. So if he allows this whole thing to keep going, he's going to have inflation like you wouldn't believe, atop which he's going to have people not being able to get to work because they won't be able to afford the gas to put in their cars. And much as he would like every car to be electric, the vast majority of cars in this country are gas cars, and most people like those gas cars. A lot of people really do not appreciate having to deal with an electric car. Even if they could afford one, they wouldn't want it.
Well, this is the bizarre reality we find ourselves in for a lot of reasons, some inexplicable, though. how this happened other than through fraud and other things. But he's now going to the OPEC nations that haven't been real big fans of the United States over the years, to say, please pump out more oil so we can reduce our prices. What happened to the oil we were producing?
Right.
I mean,
well,
it's like,
why would they have any incentive to satisfy his interest in that? He's a complete idiot, really. I mean, it's embarrassing that he resorts to that. But it's characteristic of Joe Biden. He doesn't think much past his nose. He really has a very hard time contemplating. And once he does have a scruple, he usually has it because someone gave it to him. He's not a deep thinker by any means. And the consequence of that, when you have so many ruinous policies in place, is dire, because he doesn't know how to get out of it. You can see somebody here who recognizes he's in plight because his own popularity is plummeting. That's the most significant factor for Joe Biden, is his popularity. He couldn't give a hoot about the future of the United States, frankly. It's his own future that he's worried about. So what does he do? Well, rather than be honest about it, which is alien to his processing, he chooses to beg and plead with our near enemies in the Middle East to give him a break. But why should they give him a break? They're going to profit from this. Why should they give him a break? Why would you cut your own self-interest?
Oh, they hated Trump over in OPEC because they were hurting. And now it's like, we got a chance to profit with Biden there. Why? Again, what is he thinking? Or is he thinking?
Well, not only that, they lost massive amounts of money because of Trump's push for energy independence in the United States. When we achieved energy independence, the price of oil had plummeted, and they were losing their shirts. Well, they're making up for it now, aren't they? And they're grateful to Biden for enabling that to happen by destroying America's energy independence. He doesn't understand the strategic significance of energy independence, apparently. And that comes through not only because he destroyed the Keystone XL pipeline and ruined those people's jobs unnecessarily, but also because he just had no problem allowing the Nord Stream 2 pipeline from Russia to go to Europe, and has no problem with having Russia take over the European market. It's nuts. I mean, it's a person who has no concern.
Is he president of Russia
America's
or the
interest.
European
right.
Union or America? Which or China?
Right.
And then further, the destruction of the Federal Reserve note dollar. We've talked about that. I acknowledge, and I know that you do too, this is beyond any one president, but man, they're putting the pedal to the metal now that the Democrats have more control over this. This article at the Just the News says, just a big tab, Democrat-led Senate okays more than $4 trillion of spending in less than 24 hours. The Senate passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, which includes $517 billion in new spending, as well as a $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation proposal. You know, I would ask the question, how do they think that the American people are going to handle the higher prices due to inflation of the currency? But I don't think they care. I think they like it because more dependence is bred, more government demand for involvement in people's lives, and they become more enslaved to big government than ever before.
Well, inflation is peculiar in that it hurts everybody with property or with wealth. It hurts them the most. And as far as people who are on the lower end of the economic spectrum, it hurts them, no question, because they have to pay for goods and services and so forth. But if you have a government that's going to dole out all the handouts to that population, then it kind of, in certain ways, reduces the impact, doesn't it? So it's a sick system that he's operating with. He's using inflation and policies that cause inflation to placate a minority that is his activist constituency, and he has no concern for the vast majority who will suffer immeasurably because of the tax of inflation. And not only that, inside this bill that they're trying to pass now, they've got more taxes rolled in. So you're going to have a double whammy of inflation and taxation that he's going to deliver as soon as he possibly can.
I see this reconciliation bill includes new spending programs related to tuition-free community college, universal pre-K, support for child care and Medicaid expansion. It contains tax increases, as you mentioned, such as corporate tax rate hike to pay for the part of the bill. But the thing is, every time you raise taxes on so-called corporations, guess who gets to pay the inflated prices now to cover that?
It just adds to the price.
And then they have to either reduce the wages of the people working for it or fire them because they no longer have the ability to pay for them. And it's just, it's lunatic economics. And yet this collectivist socialist idea or ideas are emanating in the Biden administration more directly than previous administrations, even though, as I said, I hold Republicans at fault, too, for not standing on principle for so many years and so many administrations pushing back against this, that this would become possible, much less some would say inevitable, for as long as Biden and those Yahoo's boneheads control things.
Yeah, I think what is happening is that you're watching the rather rapid destruction of the Biden administration through their own idiocy. It's very zealous desire to ensure that the radical left of the party is satisfied has caused them to embrace all manner of policies that are ruinous to the economy and that deprive people of individual liberty. They assume, apparently, that there will not be significant adverse reaction to that. Well, already his popularity numbers are plummeting. But in addition to that, he's got some real problems with a supermajority of the American people think that his policies on the border are ruinous. I mean, something like 65% think that his policies are ruinous in the border. And a very large number of people are worried about crime, the increases in crime, and about inflation. So you've got all a recipe that is very, very good for kicking out the turkeys who are the socialist Democrats.
Right. Well, at the midterms,
in the House and Senate.
As I said, though, I'm very concerned about the legitimacy of elections now based on a lack of investigation into what happened in the 2020 election cycle. And so that's the biggest concern I have, Jonathan. Not that there wouldn't be a pushback or blowback on these bloated attempts at further socializing the economy of the United States, but that there's no remedy if we can't be certain that the elections have legitimacy. By the way, they say inflation hit its highest level in 2008, since 2008, 5.4%. I'm thinking, I filled up the gas tank yesterday, and it was double. And I'm talking with a 60 cents per gallon discount that we get, if you these deals you can get from, still double it was the last year under the Trump administration. So don't tell me it's a 5% increase as far as the clip. It's certain sectors have more obviousness inflation or higher prices due to inflation. But overall, anytime the gas price comes up, everything that relies on goes up, which is just about everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got to get together.
And that just means, we are watching the purchasing power of Americans be depleted.
Correct.
We're watching people losing their savings, losing their value of the dollar, and being impoverished. So we're watching his policies are impoverishing every American citizen, And the impact of those policies is most dire on working class Americans, that is people who have to have a job. They are seeing their paycheck effectively be worth less and less.
By the week. Even if their numbers go up incrementally, they're not fast enough to meet the inflationary spiral that we're in right now. And it's not a downward spiral. It's an upward one. As I was just about to say, I just want to remind everybody the opportunities to get together and discuss one of these topics or all of these topics when we come together, like at the Health Freedom Expo. It's not just about the lectures that Jonathan Emord gives, which are amazing. It's not just about the different events that occur there. It's also about the interaction with each other, to realize that we're not alone. As y'all sit wherever you're listening, live or later on a computer or radio, whatever, you're not alone. And I know you sense that every time you join us here, but to come together like humans are designed to do. It's not that we want to get together. We need to get together. That's a part of, I believe, we're here on planet Earth not to distance from one another. I don't perceive that we're all to be hermits living in a cave and never isolating and never talking to one another. That's ridiculous. And so coming together at the Health Freedom Expo, as I said, if you haven't made your plans already, the Chicagoland area, Tinley Park, October 2nd and 3rd. And, you know, we'll be able to discuss these things. You know, there are conversations that happen outside of the official thing. I mean, there's stuff that you are empowered. You feel like, yes, strengthened by the interaction. And again, a shout out to Julie Whitman Klein and the family at Trinity, the Health Freedom Expo and Trinity School of Natural Health for really, really stepping it out there and not backing down. Even though we had to do a kind of an online version last year and we made the best of it and it was still amazing. To come together, the opportunities, I don't know how bad it's going to get. I'm not a prophet in that regard. But I will say, if you have the opportunity to come together, please plan to be there with us, and you will be richly rewarded for it on so many levels.
That's true. And not only will we be speaking, but I, for example, be signing books, but so will others. And It is a unique opportunity to hear about innovations in medicine that just aren't available anywhere else. There it is, the authoritarian
stuff. I don't know if it looks like I didn't get a signed copy yet. I don't know what's going on here. What's a guy got to do to get a signed copy of the authoritarians? Well, go to the Health Freedom Expo.
That's right. You got to go to the Health Freedom Expo.
Or, hey, how about the big event on CRT?
September 21.
September 21 in the D.C. metro area. And you've got a little more hints about the location, a little closer to the location. But if you want to attend with us, just let Super Don know, and we will send you a link to the Eventbrite tickets, and then you'll be there. It's free. It's amazing. So very empowering, very empowering. So let's move on to this article out of the Daily Mail, and this is just so expected. Kate Brown, Oregon's governor. What a disaster. Sorry, Super Don. I don't know what your kids are going to learn your grandkids, I shall say, when they go to school. But Kate Brown has basically scrapped the need for high school students to prove proficiency in math, reading, and writing to get a diploma. Why? Well, I guess what's really important is to teach them about racial distinctions and differences so that everyone will hate one another and fear one another.
They don't have to learn how to read or write or do arithmetic in order to be a BLM protester or an Antifa rioter. If your future is rioting, you don't really have to learn these things. Brown is satisfied with the destruction of her country, of her state, and she's also satisfied with the ruination of education, with critical race theory running rampant throughout her state and in her educational establishment. She is happy with the balkanization of education, turning education into a breeding ground for Bolsheviks and causing children to be the subject of child abuse. I've characterized CRT as child abuse. It really meets the classic legal definition of child abuse. It's psychological abuse. It causes those of color to be led to believe that no matter what they do in this country, they're not going to be able to get far because the nation is systemically racist. So you might as well hang it up as far as trying to excel. It's not going to work for you anyway. Then when it comes to kids, they teach white kids that no matter what you do, your pigment makes you a racist. And everyone is victimized by your whiteness, by your inherent racism. Mm-hmm. This kind of nonsense propaganda is drilled into kids from K through 12 in the CRT curriculum that Oregon has adopted. And it is child abuse. It causes kids to suffer depression. It causes kids to think that they are worthless,
you're basically teaching them they're dumb and they can't learn. So all we're going to do is teach you to feel victimized by life or pigment. It's a horrible thing to do.
It's horrible.
For children. And, you know, we look at the words that they use in this thing, and you come back to this word equity. Inclusion and equitable review of graduation proficiency requirements when guided by data. But basically, stop at equity, because this is World Economic Forum. This is global communism. These terms are being used to basically infiltrate all of the education systems on the planet, much less those here in America.
Level everything. You have an oppressed class, which is defined as people of color. You have the oppressors, who are defined as whites. And those two classes are in conflict. What will happen? Well, you have the vanguard movement to overthrow the government comprised of those of color. And you achieve a destruction of the governments and of the free market. And you put in its place a communist system that has a group of people who are allowed to govern. And they govern based on racist principles. And then all the rest of the country who doesn't meet the classification of privilege the new privilege, mm-hmm. will be lose their property, lose their rights, have all of their income redistributed to those who are politically preferred. Now, this goes through a round or two, and then everybody's broke. Then the whole thing collapses. Then you've got Cuba, you have Venezuela, you have North Korea. Pick your communist utopia on this planet. Find me one communist utopia. Mm-hmm. There is none. If you like universal mediocrity, depression, and no innovation and no ability to express yourself politically or in your own religion or what have you, if you want to live as a slave, then there's your communist utopia. These fools are buying into a system that is proven over and over and over again to be an utter failure. And they are demanding it. They're not only demanding it, they're using violence to achieve it. If we had George Washington as our president, he would be, as he did with the Whiskey Rebellion, leading the armed forces as commander in chief and crushing this rebellion and restoring the republics in the states to ensure that the people's liberties were protected and that the rule of law prevailed. Instead, we have a dolt as a president. We have somebody who lets this go on and won't stop it, won't do one thing, won't even speak about it. And we have a Speaker of the House who says, well, they will do what they'll do. And then we have a leader in the Senate who's all sympathetic with them, who thinks that, gee, yeah, I can understand why they do this. Well, look, these are people who long ago abandoned the rule of law. They don't believe in the rule of law. They are engaged in corruption writ large. They don't want any lights to be shed upon their own corrupt backgrounds. And as long as they have power, they succeed in doing that and blocking it. There's no FBI investigation of any real merit going on against Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. There's no Justice Department inquiry into their corrupt actions. Look, we got Hunter Biden, who profiteered for years with influence peddling deals with avowed enemies of the United States, the oligarchs in Ukraine, China, and wife of the mayor of Moscow. I mean, making millions and millions of dollars. And Joe Biden, from the latest information, had his debts paid by Hunter, several of his debts paid by Hunter from this very same source of money. Not only that, contrary to his statements that he didn't know anything about it, the evidence clearly shows he did know about it, and he was actively participating in it and encouraging it for his son. So these are corrupt people who are willing to sell out the United States for their own personal profit. They don't have any scruples. There's no moral, ethical, or other foundation for these people. They don't believe in the foundational principles of this country. They're not committed to saving this nation. They're not committed to ensuring that the United States remains free and that our people are protected against the threats that exist around the world. They're all about themselves.
Of the minority of people that voted for Biden to be president, many of them are having regrets. I've been reading about people that go, I voted for this.
Right.
Now, Trump was, created some of his own problems the way he went about things. But still, to get this, we are in a situation where we have once again, the protected criminal elites protecting one another, not allowing for investigation in any way, shape or form. Now, I don't know if I'm still invited to your event because I'm just thinking about maybe I'm too radical. I believe in a separation of education and state. I don't want the government to have anything to do with education. And why? Because inevitably what we see, the movement towards centralization, bureaucratization in all governments, when the people don't take part and engage and protect that limited liberty that wasn't supposed to be limited, but it was limited for the people in government to then take over and then change, like the era of progressivism from the 19th century forward. I think there's a guy who wrote a book about this. Authoritarians. And so the risk has always been the more we got government to involve. The Department of Education shouldn't exist.
Right.
Thank you, Jimmy Carter.
No. There's no question about it, Robert. And in fact, I found it very edifying to see that the woman who most recently publicly resigned her position as a teacher in Loudoun County, she said, take your kids out of the public schools in Loudoun County and get them into a private school. And her point was well taken for the reasons you're stating. You can't expect this system, which is so corrupt and so controlled by Marxists, to end up shifting and becoming a paragon of limited federal republic and teaching our kids the fundamentals. They're more interested in turning kids into revolutionaries against the nation than they are anything else. And this whole movement, I mean, this movement of having 5 billion pronouns, I mean, kids have a difficult time enough with the limited number of pronouns that existed in the English language. Now they're going to add like 100 more. Then to say, okay, we have a menu for you of bathrooms to select depending upon your mood that day. If you think you're female, go here. If you think you're male, go here. If you're unsure, go here. If you are becoming male or female, go here. This is insanity. This is ruination. Kids are not equipped to deal with these kinds of things that are being superimposed upon them by these idiots who are elites from the academia who think that they know better than over 1,000 years of history as to the nature of the English language, and who think that they know better than biology what is a boy and what is a girl.
I wonder, in Oregon, Kate Brown, Super Don, I'm thinking about you now and your grandkids if they're going to go to school there in Oregon. You know, would Kate Brown hold kids back if they don't know the 50 different pronouns for gender? Right. Like, no math, no English, but hey, pronouns for gender, we're going to hold you back if you don't get on board with that.
That's an important life skill. That'll get you far.
Oh, my gosh. Is there a recall petition for this woman? Is there any?
You know, here's the thing. She was not voted in, okay? She was appointed because the governor that was here ended up leaving, I think. There was some kind of scandal or something like that. So she was, you know, just happened to be the one, right? And so when it comes time for her for re-election, I don't even know if she's going to run. I think it'd be dumb.
Do you feel like she's is she popular among anybody outside of Portland?
No, I can't imagine that she would get reelected. To be honest with you, she's one of the most hated mayors in the country.
Governors, in this case,
governors. Yeah.
But we look at New York and Cuomo finally resigning, and who's going to replace Cuomo? Is it going to be another Kate Brown, for instance, in New York? Because
I don't think lieutenant governor. Can't remember what her name is.
But fundamentally, what would she do differently? You know, philosophically,
don't know anything about her.
Yeah. But as you see in Oregon, it didn't improve much.
No. Yeah.
Leaving one guy in a scandal and a gal comes in and does even more disastrous things. By the way, out of Atlanta, this is not in the notes. I don't know if you can add it there, Super D. But out of Atlanta, there's an article I just saw earlier today. A black Atlanta mother files suit against the principal for separating students by race. Like, what? What?
Yeah, racial segregation is back.
I'm like, we've been talking about segregation based on vaccine status is back kind of thing. But they and weirdly enough, apparently it's a black principal who said we're segregating all the white kids in these classes, all the black kids in these classes. What the heck is going on?
The CRT is patently racist, right? So once you buy into that, you can segregate the races. In fact, that's what CRT does. It causes people to focus on pigment as a basis of distinguishing everything. Our history, whether or not you're going to have to take the math test, whether or not you are going to use a pronoun of one kind or another, is all influenced one way or another by this segregation of people that they're trying to achieve. They're trying to separate people based on superficialities and make that the fundamental principle. And so as a consequence, you end up with kids aren't united as Americans. They're separated based on race. Kids can't unite as Americans. They can't believe together in an e pluribus unum kind of a fashion that the nation's principles in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence define for all of us, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of our background, what the principle of an American is. And if you agree with that, you're an American. And if you don't, you're not. And that's what has united us since the founding of the Republic. It's been this idea that all men are created equal. They're endowed by God with unalienable rights, that we're entitled to equal justice under law, and that governments are instituted among men to protect the rights of the governed, and that governments are based on the consent of the governed. And all of these principles, which give individuals sovereignty and make us based on individualism and meritocracy, are completely obliterated by this Marxist doctrine that creates new groups and pits them against one another. You know, that's they depend on a class struggle to create the revolution. The class struggle they want to build is a racial struggle.
Can you imagine if an Atlanta school with a white principal was segregating white and black students? What be the national, international outrage? I just heard about this thing.
Well, so, it's so bad with CRT now that all that person who's white would have to do is say, this is critical race theory I'm implementing. So you could have a white principal and he could segregate kids based on race and say that that was part of his critical race theory curriculum because he wants black children to understand those characteristics that are associated with them or of color children, broadly speaking. And he wants whites to understand the characteristics associated with them. They don't allow us to be Americans united. They don't allow us to be one people. They make us be segregated. Mm-hmm. And that's the philosophy of CRT is segregation. It's racial segregation. It's racism, which is what racial segregation always has been. Yeah. It's racism.
All right. Well, what else we got to consider here? It's good that Cuomo's going bye-bye in New York, but a little late. Still thousands, arguably thousands of old people died because of what Cuomo
did. The question is, who is going to make him account for what he has done, right? Or is he likely, the Democrats will probably ensure this, that he gets off scot-free?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really an interesting situation. This is why Biden, like a complete idiot that he is, compliments Cuomo on the way out. Oh, what a great governor he was. Come on.
Really?
The guy was a sexual abuser. He was a person who had low moral character and really was all about himself. And not only that, he purposefully caused people who were infected with the virus to go back into the nursing homes and infect thousands of others. I mean, he caused the deaths of so many people. Are we not to hold this person responsible? Where's the rule of law? Where's justice? Where is it?
Well, and will there be any? Will I imagine there'll probably be, if there haven't been already, civil suits if the state or federal government doesn't act against him, which I'm not counting on. But how?
Well, we know the DOJ dropped their whole case against him based on the non-disclosure of information in response to the federal subpoena. They completely disputed it. We have politics is reigning over the rule of law. The Department of Justice is a political animal. It's using political vectors to determine which direction to go in. And the same is true with regard to the military now, which is teaching CRT to the troops and also causing the troops to lose their preparedness, strength, and weakening the United States militarily. And then it's also true all throughout the executive branch agencies and in the White House. We have so much rot to get out and so many communists to weed out of this government, root out. I mean, the swamp is not only back, but it's resurgent and it's a tidal wave in Washington right now.
Are you seeing any distinct differences? I know that they probably haven't had in-person hearings like you used to go, whether it be with FTC, FDA, or different groups that you were doing battle with on behalf of clients. Has there been any demonstrable in-your-face differences between Trump leaving and his administration and these oligarchical agencies that existed before him and after him?
Oh, you bet, particularly in the energy area. I mean, you've got some real radicalization of policies across the board. Every single part of the government, whether it's the Department of Defense or the EPA, is prioritizing climate change and making policies, rules, and decisions based on their perception of how best to root out fossil fuels from the government and from the private sector. I mean, they're trying to destroy the backbone of the American economy. They're doing it with zealotry. And what's so amazing about it is they absolutely have no concern of about the consequences. They could not care less about how many people lose their jobs. They could not care less about how many industries are shuttered. They could not care less that the choice that they're forcing Americans to accept for energy is not reliable and is intermittent in its energy production in the form of wind and solar energy, they don't care. They just do not care that their command control government planned economy that they're insisting upon is detrimental to the long-term and short-term interests of the United States. They don't care that it will forfeit our position in the world. They don't care that it'll destroy the American economy. They really don't care.
Well, and at a certain point, you got to connect the outcome based on whatever we perceive or believe their intent to be. If the inevitable outcome is the destruction of the integrity and the loss of influence and everything that was, pretty amazing about the United States, then you'd have to say that they meant to do it, because it's not like it's hidden, these outcomes.
Oh, you bet. You bet. As I explained in The Rise of Tyranny, I mean, it is their quest to create this government outside of the constitutional government, that is the government with limits on its power, in order to achieve this high degree of personal control and aggrandizement of power over everybody else. They think they know better than you do how you should run your life. They don't care what hardship they impose on you as a result of you being forced to follow their edicts. They don't care that it deprives you of freedom of choice. They don't value those things. They value their own ability to control you and to profit from your labors and direct that money to those who are politically aligned with them. That's what this is about. This is called communism. This is what they want to do. They want to be parasites who suck the life's blood out of the most productive elements in our country and use all of that for their own benefit. I mean, it's no coincidence. In fact, it's entirely predictable that Patrice Cullors and Sean King, both BLM people, have profited magnificently from BLM. They've acquired massive wealth. And they have no problem in profiting from that. Meanwhile, they say that the society is so unjust and capitalists are terrible. We have to destroy the capitalist economy and we need to impose socialism everywhere. And they're true hypocrites all the way through, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden. They're all hypocrites. AOC, they're all hypocrites. They stand for themselves. Mm-hmm. They use rhetoric, they use positions to increase their power, to increase the political control they can wield over you. Mm-hmm. And they want to. They can't do this themselves. They can't build something of economic value and sell it in the economy and make money from it. They cannot succeed out there. So what do? They get into government and then they tax the living daylights out of people. They regulate them, which is another form of taxation. They take as much money as they can, and then they direct it for whatever projects they think are cool.
And
they don't care that that's taking
themselves.
Your rights away.
And look, I don't mind if people want to spend money on a birthday party, but hypocrisy reigned at the Obama 60th on Martha's Vineyard, the place that was supposed to be underwater, based on Al Gore and others like him saying, oh, global warming is inevitable. We're all going to die and drown. On and on. It's hypocrisy. It's nauseating. Also, again, I acknowledge the role of the people falling down on their job, our job, to limit government's behavior and activity to not allow this to happen. And again, it's been over many generations now. So I realize most people are ignorant of how we got here, which is, again, as we wrap up this hour with Jonathan Emord, why this book is so important as a historically significant perspective that you will not get. Probably not in many private schools. I wish this was in every private school to teach, but at least it could be in your home school and your home to teach your kids and their kids about how we got here so that we can undo the damage and create anew what our founders had left to their posterity, us, a form of government that would be strong enough, at least in its base, bare bones, that we could use it to limit the degradation and the inevitable decline to where all governments go into totalitarianism, toward world domination or domination of the people that it can control and rule over. Now, of course, by destroying the American Republican form of government, globalists from other nations, even if they're aligned with any nation or state, can now weaken us to the point where we become subjected to their illustrious rule as a globalist. That's just not something we're going to go for here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And Jonathan, I know you don't either. So September 21st, We're going to get together. We're going to be there. If y'all want to be there too in the D.C. metro area, reach out to Super Don if you think you can be there. September 21st, we'd love to see you. And if not there, then the Health Freedom Expo, October 2nd and 3rd. And if not there, I'll see you with others at the Truth About Cancer Live event in Nashville, Tennessee, October 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Jonathan, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Love to you and your family. Can't wait to visit and see you. It's going to be here sooner than we know.
Yes, sir, Robert. Can't wait to see you out here, man.
All right. Thanks. That's Jonathan Emord, Sacred Fire of Liberty, wrapping up Hour 1. We've got a whole other hour of broadcast healing coming up here. And share the show, please. Share the links. Look, all your support, even through sharing, is big time because we don't have a massive PR agency telling the world about us. In fact, we're getting banned and deplatformed. But because of that, more of you than ever are supporting the show and learning about the show. So welcome if you're new. And Super Don, what kind of educational opportunity we have at the top of the hour before I take a quick breather here?
Oh, let's talk a little Echo water and a little key technology.
I don't mind that at all. Back in a moment, because the power to heal is yours.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
But I think people should know there is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom. This, according to my principles, this is a free country, and I'm going to have the freedom to wear no mask. Yeah, you have the freedom to wear no mask, but you know something? You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
Wow. What a difference. I don't know how many decades a Schwarzenegger makes. He's turned into a girly man.
Wow.
He's turned
that
into,
was
remember
something,
that?
Huh?
Don't be a girly schmuck. Man. A schmuck. He calls us a schmuck.
A schmuck.
These are, you know, these are the people that are, you know, dangerous collectivists they've descended into. The Austrian who became, you know, an American success story, who became governor of the, you know, the most populous state in the union. And I remember featuring his inaugural address when he became governor, because it was truly inspiring, where he talked about what was so great about America was that the sovereignty was not with the government like a king or a queen. He acknowledged that. I remember that distinctly, that because the sovereignty was with the people, that's what made America great, what made him so successful to adopt our American ideals. And now he's abandoned them and apparently says, screw your freedom and you're a schmuck for not wearing a mask. Why? Because you know so little about immunology and virology and on it goes. And then suddenly now, screw your freedom, Arnold. I don't want to descend to his level, but, you know, it's like, good Lord, girly man. Man up. Yeah, I said that. Don't be a wussy. I'm afraid of little invisible things. Stop it. You have an immune system. How about supporting it? Your immune system is not your mask. I don't know if we were supposed to laugh or cry at that, Super D.
We report, you decide.
Okay. Screw your freedom. Wow, Arnold, really, you have descended. You know, go back to Austria if that's the way you feel. Would they have you? Is he still popular in Austria? I wonder.
I would assume so.
But... gosh, darn it. That's horrible.
So we've got a loaded hour here. We're going to try and get through everything that I've put in. I was overzealous, I think.
Yeah, you did throw a lot at
me. So we're going to try and just do kind of a rapid fire on what's going on here. But I warned you
what
a few days
me?
Ago
yeah.
that the next 30 to 60 days are going to be insane.
Well,
it's already started.
It's not like I disputed that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is. You know, before we get into that level of insanity, though, do we have any more, let's say, submissions for our friends at Nutritional Frontiers, their CBD, their organic CBD?
I don't have anything on the CBD.
Okay.
But I did get one picture from DJ Katie Organic, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, she's a sounding
new
patron supporter.
She just recently became a patron, and she was eligible for a T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and she got it.
Do we have a picture of that? Hey, look at that. DJ Katie Organic rocking the health world with a Robert Scott Bell Show t-shirt, courtesy of the design of our good friend Steve Feld. Looks great, Katie. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you for the support, and thank you for sending the picture in. And, you know, just along with that, I think I have another – well, yeah, there was another new patron recently. I've got I got a book, and we're getting a t-shirt out. Who was the latest patron supporter? Want to acknowledge again, say thank you. That's awesome. And in the meantime, yeah, go ahead. In the meantime, again, I want to remind you about going to CBDNF to get this certified organic U.S. grown hemp CBD, CO2 extracted, hand harvested, amazing stuff. And I've been getting by thanks to the CBD. In fact, was it yesterday? Yesterday morning, in fact, I did. I was getting ready to go out to do my workout in the morning, and I was already, you know, a little stressed, a little bit, because I've been hosting Richard Pearl's show for the last 5 days, basically, last five broadcasts in addition to my own. Today, I said, you know what? I got to go out and work in the yard and the lawn. I didn't do it. But yesterday, I was like feeling already in the neck. Once again, I know what to do. The transdermal CBD from our friends at Nutritional Frontier. So CBDNF.com. And it immediately, I was like, oh, I feel so much better. CBDNF.com. Sign up to become a customer. They'll say, if you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show, they'll send you a lovely welcome package and samples. And then when you order, use the code RSB15 to get that discount and spread the word. Great organic U.S. grown CBD. So we got it. Anyway, so who's our latest patron? I've got to send out a t-shirt.
Christy. Yes.
And Christy's also going to get an autographed copy of Unlock the Power to Heal.
That's right.
And thank you for being a part of the direct support for this show, speaking out about health freedom and healing liberty. So wonderful news. All right, now we can go into the chaos. What chaos do we want to talk about first, as far as what you predicted?
It's mandate mania, mania, mania.
Mandate mania.
Yes,
it
is.
That's about what it is, isn't it? The Department of Health and Human Services, Soylent Green is people, joined the vaccine trend, orders shots for its health workers. Are you surprised? I'm not. Superdon is not.
I'm not surprised. It's not surprising, but I, you know, at the same time, I'm just sitting here going, I honestly, it's like I'm checking the news, and it seems like every time that I go and check the news, there's another thing popping up of another whatever that is now following the lead of everybody else. So you've got HHS. Doesn't surprise me that these guys would do this, because they are HHS, right?
Right.
So 25,000 clinicians, researchers, contractors, trainees, and volunteers apparently are going to be affected by this new mandate here.
Yeah. Isn't it disgusting that the Department of Health and Human Services has 80,000 employees?
Yeah.
I mean, really? We need 80,000 employees to manage our health and humanity? It's obviously ludicrous, but as I said, acknowledgement, this is not Joe Biden's fault. Biden just inherited something that, well, he was there with Obama too, but they didn't decrease it at all. Trump tried a little bit, but dude, it's a mess. It's absolutely a mess. By the way, when they say this quote here, while vaccination is nearly universal among physicians, the same can't be said for people working in healthcare settings, because they're on the ground seeing it. Also, did I send you that little article or chart about PhDs? I'm showing everybody right now.
I think it was a Pam Popper.
This is at unheard.com. The most vaccine hesitant group of all, PhDs. Super D. I'm putting it up on the screen for everybody that's watching the show live. Vaccine hesitancy in the U.S. by education level. High school or less, some college, bachelor's, master's, and then professionals, and then it goes up at the PhD level, the largest group of hesitant people, PhDs. Now, I've been saying about that the PhDs are peeling away, and even some of the MDs are peeling away, much less other health workers, because they're seeing firsthand. They're talking about this firsthand. And guess what? Doximity, the doctor social media network, disinformation. What? By who? Are we infiltrating it? No. You have to be a licensed healthcare provider of some kind to be in Doximity, and they're sharing it. Every day, another group or individuals within groups, even of highly educated people, are digging in their heels and going, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent
at this juncture.
So, Super D, we are joined by a lot of so-called smart people, right? But then again, what was it the MIT researchers found? People who are hesitant or are not getting the shot are by and large more educated than those who are. And that's not exclusive, because there are plenty of people across the spectrum that are stepping up and saying, no way, no how, not going to happen. So despite this attempt of mandating, my prophecy, if you want to call it a prophecy or prediction, I don't think it's that impressive to say what I'm about to say. The more they mandate, the more people, just like, was it Princess Leia that says, the more star systems will squeeze from you, will escape the grasp of your fingers.
Yeah. I guess we're going to see. I'll tell you, I'm a bit discouraged.
Are you?
Captain Optimism over here.
Yeah.
Why? Just because they really, really, really are being very pushy on this.
They're
trying to basically cut off all of the exits on this situation, and so we'll see how you know what kind of intestinal fortitude people have. Principles or not.
I got a message from my buddy in France, friend that I've had for many, many years. He is French. He's from France, and he's very holistically oriented. His mother is a holistic healthcare provider and does amazing energy work. And he's like, I'm a bit concerned. He sends me a message. I don't know how long I can, you know, withstand the assault in France that's happening. I said, please stand strong with your fellow Frenchies. I don't think I said
Listen,
it that way.
Listen, man, you know what? I'm seeing protests in France that dwarf like anything you see here. So, I mean, people they're trying.
Yeah. And I say, please don't back down, because, you know, you don't know the risk when it happens to you. You might survive the initial assault of any of these jabs. You don't know. And then again, the long range thing. And I sent him the image of Luc Montagnier, a Frenchman, MD, you know, Luc Montagnier, Nobel Prize winner, who said not only are the shots driving the variants, but because of ADE and pathogenic priming, prepare the body bags and prepare to burn them. I mean, this is Montagnier's prediction.
Right.
Fellow Frenchman, I said, stand tall, stand strong. Don't back down, France, people of France. Liberté, right? As they say, la liberté.
Frenchies from France.
Frenchies from France. How about losers from LA? Oh, did I say that? I'm so sorry.
See, now this one here, I mean, it didn't take them long, right? I mean, you had New York City, then Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew Los Angeles was coming.
Los Angeles has gone even farther than apparently de Blasio in New York City. They voted 13-0 to create vaccination requirement for indoor public spaces such as restaurants, movie theaters, concert venues. And I don't know when this takes effect and how they're going to actually police it. But basically, even retail establishments, which, again, wasn't the inclusive wording in New York City. So it's more expansive than what New York City is doing. Council President Nuri Martinez, who is in line to take over as mayor once Eric Garcetti leaves, and Councilman Mitch O'Farrell introduced the motion last Wednesday. And they basically are living a fiction. They say this, COVID-19 could be eradicated if we had mass vaccinations across the country and across the world. That's a nonsense statement, completely unsubstantiated by the current science. And the same thing I would say regarding the eradication of smallpox, which they tried to say that about that and polio through vaccinations. They don't know history, but most people don't. Most people have not read official stories by Liam Sheff. Most people have not read Divided Legacy by Harris Coulter to know the history of medicine in America and the West, to realize how much of a lie they've been sold and how much they're parroting bull snot. I almost said it. Bullsnot. I was like, yeah, because it is. It is what it sounds like. Well, you know, it's like, if you really cared about people dying, council members in Los Angeles, you know what you would shut down? You would shut down pharmacies. Third leading cause of death, FDA-approved medication. Nothing comes close in reality, because the first and second leading cause of death arguably are caused by the third leading cause of death, medical allopathic drug interventions. Super D, is it clear yet that this is not about saving lives? This is a nonsense statement. I don't even think they believe it. They use it as an opportunity to grow their own power.
I think a lot of people do. And I just do. And it's not because they have spent much time doing any research of their own.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going with it.
They're mindless myrmidons for the medical establishment here. Promoting something that they would speak out against. Big Pharma, evil Big Pharma. Now it's like, no, we got to. Big Pharma is going to save us all, right? But they don't even look at it that way. It's government coming to save you with mandatory free. By the way, did I say they're free? Oh, not only free, we'll give you organic vegan donuts.
Well, and honestly, I could be wrong about this, but it's what I was saying before that. Yeah. I think people are going to be just jumping on the bandwagon because it's human nature, I believe, for people that if they belong to a group of whatever, in this case, it's people who've been vaccinated. Now they may have gone out and gotten vaccinated just because they thought it was the right thing to do. But now they're part of the group. They're part of the vaccine group, right?
Yeah.
So now you've got groupthink that's now starting to materialize.
Madness in groups. You're right.
And so now it's kind of like, hey, I have to be one of the ones that gets to go to the restaurant now. Mm-hmm. I get to be one of the ones, and now it's kind of an exclusive thing, right? You know, where it's kind of like we get to do this stuff and you guys don't get to.
Well, yeah, it is. It's horrible. It's like playground politics, y'all.
I think it's going to snowball at this point.
Well, there's going to be pushback too. It's not going to
there will well yeah dunks. That hasn't happened yet because it's just now starting to get in there. Since we went to air, I just want to show you This is the thing. It's going to be changing minute by minute. We've got New York City. Mm-hmm. We've got Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how about San Francisco?
Oh, well, that was inevitable.
But, you know, it hadn't happened yet. And apparently now San Francisco is going to basically do kind of the same thing that New York is doing.
Restaurant, so what about bar, those 160 sheriff deputies?
But they can't afford it's 160 out of 840.
But they couldn't afford to lose them. They're already short staffed.
Yeah,
is the point. So well, more crime.
I don't know
the
what the update is on that. Actually,
yeah,
do not know what the update is on
so
that.
So San Francisco was inevitable. That's
you've got San Francisco, and I don't want to leave out. Now listen, I know Los Angeles, New York City. They're big cities. I'm not familiar with Philadelphia. But apparently, Philadelphia now has jumped on the bandwagon. They're now going to be doing indoor masking, and it's going to be similar again to like what New York did.
So we've got irrational leftist cities that can't read science, peer-reviewed medical literature, coming to conclusions that are completely wrong and making people live imprisoned. Basically, imprisoned to a medical intervention.
Interesting takeaway on this.
Mm-hmm.
Starting September 1st, all city employees are going to be required to be fully vaccinated if they work inside. But if they're not, they're going to require that they be double masked.
Double masked.
Double masked.
Double the insanity.
I haven't seen that yet. But
that's the insanity. So back in L.A., several people called into the city council meeting to oppose the potential ordinance, some claiming that the vaccines are deadly themselves, which is true. Others saying it was a form of segregation, which is true. Some compared it to the Holocaust, which it would lead to. Yes. Councilman Bob Blumenfield said he was offended by the Holocaust comparison. He says, when you ask someone for their papers for the purpose of sending them to a death camp, that is the exact opposite of asking for proof of vaccination so we can save lives. It is the opposite. No, it's not. Because people die after this shot. So you cannot tell me, Bob Blumenfeld, that you're not, even if you mean well, oh, we don't intend to kill them. That's not the purpose. It doesn't matter if the end result is the same. And when you have the database that they want to discriminate against us mentioning, making what? Mention of the fact that more deaths have occurred post-COVID jab in the 6 to 8 months or so that we've been following the VAERS database more than all the years combined before COVID shots with all the vaccines added in. It's not even close. But no, suddenly the VAERS database is irrelevant. Doesn't mean what you say it means. Doesn't mean what you think it means. On and on it goes. And those people are, you know, I'm not a Darwin fan, But I think the inevitability for those that end up taking the shot, likely they could be taking themselves out of the life chain sooner than later. Not because I want them to. You know me, Super D. I have not been cheerleading one death for those that get the jab that really are true believers in the jab.
Of course not. I mean, who would do that?
But the thing is, as you know, people on the other side of the pro-vaccine fanaticism, pro-medicine fanaticism, have often cheered the deaths of people who decided not to get the jab or don't get chemo, that kind of thing. So people do that. That's not what we're about here. I'm here for you when you wake up and realize the mistake you made.
Those are the people that spend all their time on Twitter.
Perhaps that's the case, yeah. So let's see, where else we got going on here today?
Well,
we got
quick so many stories. Quick hit real quick. Also in California, they're going to be requiring vaccines for all their teachers and staff in the schools. Probably not a surprise, but just adding insult to injury in California.
Yep. Vaccines, tests, teachers, staff. I mean, come on, who wants to be a teacher anymore? Hard enough with all the kids on drugs. And maybe the teachers are too. But now you got to be tested. You got to mask up. You got to get experimental jabs, etc. I think it's high time that we, again, separate medicine and state. Now, here's another thing that's really interesting. Talk about discrimination. Do we have any clips on this, by the way?
We do.
I'm seeing this headline on NBC News. It says unvaccinated students are going to pay $750 a COVID fee at a West Virginia college, and at a particular Alabama school, $500 extra.
Birmingham Southern College, I believe it's called. There's actually a news report on that particular college talking about what it is they're going to be doing there.
Let's take a look.
Students not vaccinated will have to pay $500 for weekly COVID-19 testing, and they'll have to be tested on campus so school officials can keep track of the data. School officials say a lack of federal COVID-19 funds means students have to pay the bill for the testing if they don't get the shot. President Daniel Coleman says the spike in COVID cases and hospitalizations in our state required the college to make adjustments in how it keeps students healthy. And if students can't afford to pay the $500 fee, the school will work with them.
All right, so let's talk about this. You're at an institution of what I call higher indoctrination. All right, well, let's just call it an institution of higher learning, if we're not going to be mean like that. Robert, don't be mean. And they're mandating testing for those that don't get the jab. And they're basically saying, you guys, you gals have to pay for it or come into the school. And if you can't, they'll work with you. What does that mean? I don't know if it's a loan. Who knows what happens? But my perspective on institutions of higher indoctrination, why I call them that, is because, all right, you've got university level. It's like up there, way up there, going to university, right? I don't care which one it is. Ivy League or not. It doesn't matter to me. They're all falling prey to this. Have they not heard the news that the EUA request is being withdrawn by CDC on the RT-PCR test, the very test that you want to say, we're going to mandate the kids pay for this test? Why was the EUA withdrawn, they say? Because they can't tell the difference between cold and flu viruses and whatever they call SARS-CoV-2. Now, it's one thing if you're like, well, it's a high school, it's an elementary school, they can't know better, right? Not that I would say that, but now you're at university level, and apparently the entire university, no one is willing to say, wait a second, what about the tests? It's not just me in January or February of 2020 being one of the lone voices, along with John Rappaport, pointing this out. It is now common knowledge. It's right out there in everybody's faces that the test is crap. It has no standard. On and on it goes. And now we find out the health ranger acknowledged no reference material at all. So there's no way to determine what the heck they're testing positive for in reality, other than sequences that are emailed amongst these labs, but not seriously isolated from the body of someone who just died of COVID or just was in ICU with COVID. On and on the insanity goes. So they're going to, again, continue with the testing. This is why I say, why go to college? Why go to university? You're just going to have to unlearn the crap that they fed you. Now, there may be arguably, in terms of technical schools and things like that, that there is a legitimate utilization of the information you're given and the skills you learn. I would say even better when you go to what are those called, technical schools? I don't even mean like things like Georgia Tech Institute of Technology, which is something high end, but what do they call those trade schools, Super Don, right, where you actually learn skills, whether it be machining, welding, these things you can go. Most people can afford them, or even if they have to go into a little bit of debt, it's not debt that they'll be paying back for the rest of their life. And they come out with skills that can actually be worked. Or how about going to the Trinity School of Natural Health and learn something you can use almost from day one to help people, much less yourself, be healthier? Not treating disease, not drugging people, not poisoning people for profit, but helping them genuinely get better. How about that? This is, you know, this is one of my arguments why I've never been a fan, even though I've unfortunately am embarrassed. I have a degree too, but I'm not a fan of it. And I don't encourage, I did not encourage my kids. I'm not encouraging my kids to go there. If it happens, it happens. But my son went to more of a technical trade school and learned some really cool skills. My daughter's still in high school, so we'll see what ends up what she
honestly,
doing.
Those are the highest paying jobs anymore.
Dude, yeah. No. They're going to be valued at a time when other things break down. If you can actually work with your hands, you'll be valuable. If you're a, I don't know if they call it a pencil pusher, but a keyboard warrior, there might not be the things that you think that there are today, tomorrow. Sorry, Super Don. But here, we're celebrating empowering information that will be in demand.
Okay,
we're going to be in demand, folks.
All right, we got one more clip here on the university.
Oh,
situation.
We do. Oh, sorry we about do. That. I've just been going on That's and okay. on. Go ahead.
That's all right.
I don't think there's a price that you can put on like someone's personal safety or even like the anxiety that comes with not knowing if the person you're sitting beside in class is fully vaccinated, if they could give you this virus.
Students who are vaccinated or get vaccinated during the semester will get their money back. And the president tells me they haven't seen a drop in enrollment. It's actually the same as last year. In Birmingham, Bria Douglas, WVTM 13.
Well, at least they'll give you your money back.
Yeah, you get your money back. Right? Yeah, but will you get your life back if you're harmed or killed? No, it's just a non-starter for me. And so, I point out, I'm not against quote-unquote education. Oh, Robert wants us all to be dumb. No, I want you to be super smart as you can be.
No, that's Kate Brown.
That's Kate Brown, exactly. He wants to dumb you down. But my point here is, again, you're going to places that should know better, that have no plausible deniability to say that they cannot do what we do here in terms of reviewing peer-reviewed medical literature and or now just FDA, CDC pronouncements all over the news. That the test is crap, it can't differentiate, and you're going to make people do that, much less the peer-reviewed medical literature coming out from around the world on masking. Oh, no, we're going to double mask you. Where was that? Double mask you in Philly? How are you going to fit a cheesesteak through that? Yeah. You can't eat a cheesesteak through a double mask. A single mask, it'll drip right through. Double mask, I don't know if you're going to get the cheesesteak through, but the virus can still go through if you're afraid of viruses. So let's... You know what? We've got so many questions of the day. I don't want to run out of time. Can we jump ahead to that?
We can, but I'm going to interrupt you just for a moment here to put a shout out to Nadine.
Okay.
Nadine is our newest patron on Patreon.
Just happened while we were on the show?
Just happened while we were talking here.
Nadine, thank you. Thank you, Nadine. That's very kind. Very, very kind. Let's see.
All right. So we're going to jump over. Good article about diabetes. Go check it out over on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into the questions of the day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see Ron has a question wants solutions for. We'll get to that, Ron. Let's see. All right. Let's see. Questions of the day. Yeah, let's go. You want to do diabetes or questions of the day? I'm sorry. I'm just distracted by.
We are jumping to the questions of the day.
Questions of the day. All right. Here we go right now. All right, question of the day coming first from Mark. Mark says, Dr. Bell, about 5 years ago, we were summarily ejected from our pediatrician's office for refusing to allow him to administer 4 different quadrivalent vaccines, the equivalent of 16 doses at one time. He told me to accept the vaccines or leave and not come back. I took my daughter and walked out. After some research, I found another MD who was willing to accept my daughter as a patient with full knowledge of my position. I received a call from a nurse in her office telling me my daughter is behind on her vaccinations and must catch up. I simply said, that's not going to happen. It now appears we're about to be ejected from this practice as well. I can only surmise that the pressure of the current environment has caused our current MD to rethink her open position. Can you recommend a skilled osteopath or MD who is still able to think for themselves in the Winchester, Virginia area? Thank you for your courage. Can you recommend an osteopath in the Winchester, Virginia area? Thank you, Mark. No, Mark, I would first and foremost recommend a DC in the Winston, Virginia area. Winchester, I'm sorry, Virginia area. I don't even know where Winchester, Virginia is. Super Don, you know where that is? What part of Virginia that is? What is it close to? Something that I know of.
Yeah, unfamiliar, but let me see what I can find out here. Winchester. My,
what do they call that? A map? Ignorance of the map, I guess, in this case. geography. Where is that?
So Winchester. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. If I zoom out, let's see.
I can barely see your screen. It looks like you're looking at the ocean.
I am not looking at the ocean.
Okay.
Looking at a map.
Okay. Where is that? It's outside of.
Well, there's Alexandria, Washington. There's.
It's closer to the D.C. metro area, a little bit west, it looks like, Winchester. So, you know what I would say?
There's Richmond there.
Yeah. It's a rural area. You know, I often default to, if I don't know the area, I'm going to go, hey, how about going to your local health food stores? Check out, and they're even in little towns, you have little health food stores, and say, hey, do y'all know of a doctor who's like not crazy on vaccines, who doesn't mind us not doing it? That's one way to do it. The other thing is looking for physicians that may be part of certain groups. Maybe they've trained with Dr. Bitar and part of the IADFW or the AA. Let's see. Gosh, man, it's been a long time since I've been thinking about these groups. But the American CAM doctors, dude, I'm just losing my mind. I didn't even think about this. But I would say, even if I remember what I'm trying to say about these DO type MD groups that are integrative, I would rather have you take your child to a doctor of chiropractic. Now, I don't know if there are unusual medical circumstances that only an MD or a DO can handle in your perception, or I don't know the answer, Mark. You didn't give me enough information to go back on. But in terms of those of you who just say, hey, I just want a doc that can make sure everything's okay. You know, DCs have the same first two years of training as medical school. They do. And then they decide instead of going to drug therapy, they go into, you know, energetic concepts, vitalistic views of the body that indeed deal with physicality. But I would say a doctor of chiropractic, if you don't have a good DO that you know of that can help you, I would defer much more likely to having a DC as a what we call a GP. I know some people that's like, sacrilege. No, they're not doctors that can prescribe drugs. Well, that's good unless you need them for another reason. So get back to me, Mark, if there's a reason that you have to have an MD or a DO. Otherwise, I would say go for a DC. Not that I don't know what the status is for NDs or other holistic providers, homeopaths, or Trinity graduates in that area, if there are any. Contact the Trinity School of Natural Health. Say, hey, are there any graduates in my area that I can reach out to? Or you can engage in some form of telemedicine. But Mark, again, I don't know enough about your child's issues, if there are some, beyond just normal stuff. So that's my response thus far. And let's do a follow-up. Let's see. Second question of the day is from Chris. I really appreciate your great work. What do you recommend for lowering gum inflammation? Thanks. All right. Well, the silver hydrosol is amazing because it's site specific. It's easy to deliver the bioactive silver hydrosol. I have a bottle of Argentin 23 right here. You might do Sovereign Silver. And spraying it in the mouth, taking a teaspoon, tablespoon, swishing, swirling, putting it in your water pick, it will immediately reduce cytokine storms on contact. That's what silver, among many things that silver does. If you get it below the gum line, it'll help there below the gum line. Remember, the key for connective tissue from a mineral perspective is silicon. So getting on the Alta Health product, silica product, you can get from Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com. Choosetobehealthy.com. And he's at 866-424-1077. And RSB5 is the discount code to take advantage of those discounts. He says Argentin as well. He's got the silica as well. Now, eventually, of course, we're going to have access to the bioactive copper hydrosol. And copper has a systemic inflammation-reducing benefit. Silver is site-specific, delivered to point of foci. So both could be of great assistance in terms of repairing damage and inflammation. Homeopathically, couple of things come to mind. Phosphorus is always involved with inflammation. That could be gum or otherwise. And ferrum phosphoricum is also another remedy to consider for gum inflammation. And there are even hypersulfur calcareum. We've talked about hypersulfur for like site-specific abscesses, if that's also at play here, infections. So those are some considerations for gum inflammation. Many people have used essential oils, peppermint and other things, and swish and swirl diluted, you know, in some water. And that has been helpful for reducing gum inflammation as well. Some people use ozone, but ozone is oxidative. So be careful not to overdo that. We want to reduce oxidative stress to the tissue that is in stress and is in inflammation. And so some of these strategies are going to be helpful for dental issues. Super Don, you got any suggestions on that?
One thing I was going to say is that I've heard this numerous times from John Hewlett, and that is the success people have had with their gums while using CardioMiracle.
Right.
And it's something that he's mentioned, you know, literally every time he's been on. So that
nitric oxide, epithelial, endothelial tissue protection. And so, yeah, I would say the CardioMiracle would help as well. We've seen that too. So good memory there, Super D. Real quick here, how are we doing? We're doing okay on time. So I was in the chat room. I was looking on our chat room and got a message from Don, I think it was. I was looking. Let me go up, scroll up here. No, Ron, I'm sorry. So RSB, Ron says, it's been tough to listen to you lately as I am in the field daily and see the ravages of this quote-unquote disease. I was hoping that when your friend Super Don got his disease, this disease, your training and recommendations could really help him. But I didn't see that. What I did see is when Super Dom came back, you almost negated the disease and blamed Don for his lack of fitness and diet. Ooh, I'm getting hammered here, Super D. News alert. There are more of us out here like Super Don than you. People are dying from this disease and you are railing against the jab, but have little to offer for an alternative. Ow. Ouch. I wish you would spend as much time digging for alternatives than you do talking about the vaccine. Okay. Look, I'll take the criticism. I don't mind. I agree. You know, we're always ultimately wanting to, our desire is to bring solutions and options for you. But I would, in defense of myself, if I need to be defending myself, we have talked about from the very beginning of this thing back in 2020 about strategies to counter what's manifesting, how to prevent it, how to reverse it as well. So I'm not going to say that we haven't done it. And if you're not listening every day, yeah, there, you might miss some things here and there that we'll go into strategies for reversal and defense of the manifestation of this going on. And particularly as we've been talking about, not only the silver, the selenium, these are things that are industry standards for us. And Super Don just brought this out that came out, what, in February or March of 2020. My suggestions for so-called coronavirus prevention before we knew it was more spike protein than coronavirus, but whatever. Look, there are strategies in there for immune modulation, for protection. Now, the one thing we didn't have back then.
There's a quote from you right there in the article.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I do not recommend burying your head in the sand, in the proverbial sand, and pretending that nothing is going on. See, that's the thing. I don't know where Ron gets the idea that, and maybe I'm misunderstanding Ron's criticism here, that I have been ignoring and pretending this isn't real. Or
well, okay. At the risk of pretty much blowing out the time that we've got left in this hour, we can catch up on some things in bonus time.
Sure.
If people want to hang out. There have been some instances, and correct me if I'm wrong, in our conversations between you and I since I got hammered a month ago now, where I think you probably have sensed that I have been humbled in more ways than one from what it was that I went through. Okay.
No, I mean, you were facing like when you can't breathe, and mortality right in front of your face.
Right. And I know, you know, I mean, there is a conversation to be had for those that are intrigued by things like, is it really COVID-19? Is COVID-19 real? Mm-hmm. Koch's postulates, the origin, et cetera, et cetera. And I am 100% honest about where I stand on everything. I am not one of those guys that, you know, comes out and pretends to be something that he's not, or, you know, whatever like that. And you've heard me. I've said it numerous times.
Dude, yeah, no question.
You know what? When I was sitting there trying to breathe.
Yeah.
None of that stuff matters.
You could give a flip less about what it is.
I don't care. It don't even talk to me about it, because I'll probably do something I'll regret if I had the strength to do it.
Right.
You know? So, you know, like, I understand, you know, that there is one conversation to be had for those that want to have that conversation. Some people don't want to have that conversation. They just don't. And that's okay too. And you've said, you've acknowledged the fact that there people are getting sick.
Yeah,
they are. And you can't deny that. You cannot deny that.
Never been part of my discussion at all. Right. Ever.
It's not about whether people are getting sick. It's what they're getting sick from. And then again, we've even had people on this show. You know, the first person that comes to mind is Dr. Jack. You know, that you don't necessarily agree with when it comes to things like the virus or
although he's come closer and closer and closer to my perspective here than the other way around. And I'm not saying that because this is not about me. This is about what we've determined, what I've assessed based on a lot of things. But again, it's a different conversation than what I believe. Again, I apologize. I'm losing
Ron.
Ron is bringing up.
And listen, Ron, I can fully appreciate what it is you're saying, buddy. Because like I said, I would not wish what I went through on anybody. The sickness that people are getting is 100% real. I've seen it in my relatives and I've experienced it myself. You've acknowledged the fact, Robert, that people are getting sick. Again, the conversation is what is it now?
Yes, and
with that said,
partly theoretical, partly pragmatic and practical to say how do we respond, because we sort of need to know a little bit more about it. But you know, what was it that we got you thanks to one of our super patron saints?
I got a ton. I got a ton of stuff. I had people sending me hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and and olive leaf extract and selenium and omega-3s and you know, the whole deal. So I mean, I threw the kitchen sink at what it was that I had going on. But
although you had run out of some things before that,
I had whatever, I could have been better prepared. And again, humbling experience, noticed some things that I did. In addition to that, though, if you recall, one of the after I finally got through it, the biggest thing for me that I was the most frustrated about was the fact that there were things that I could have been doing that I wasn't doing that would have, in theory, prevented me from getting this, whatever it is. Okay. So, you know, I think the takeaway from this whole thing is, there are things that you can do that will boost your immune system. Things that we've talked about and we can continue to talk about and have talked about for years.
That are protective, prophylactic, if you will.
And it doesn't matter if we're talking about COVID-19, we're talking about colds, flus, cancer. I mean, it doesn't matter. There are things that you can be doing in order to prop up and build your immune system to either prevent you from getting whatever it is that's going around. Yeah. Or at least make it easier to deal with, right?
Well, and also, you know, I talk about vulnerabilities. And, you know, we have been forthright, candid about, you know, things, our strengths, our weaknesses. And I've said it and you acknowledge it. It's like, I think one of the vulnerabilities is, you know, issues of fitness, issues of movement, issues of exercise, issues of challenging our body on a daily basis. Does that mean that I'm to say that I will never get sick because I am so... No, that's not ever my message either. But it's the strengthening factor to withstand all kinds of things, because there's so many tangibles and intangibles, including emotional stress. Good Lord. If you're going through a stressful situation, economically, any number... And I'm not talking about you now, Super. I'm just, in a general sense, I'm bringing this out. That you could be doing everything perfect. Oh, he eats all clean. It's like, this isn't about holier than thou. It's about... How do we respond practically and pragmatically to this? And that was the point of, again, that article you brought up back in from March. But this also isn't a show that all we do every day and every minute of every show is, here's this remedy, here's this ailment, here's this remedy. That's just not what this show is about. even though, yes, we do bring that up when these questions arise. But to speak about the jab right now, which is, you know, I'm disgusted having to speak about the jab. Super Don, you don't want to have to do it, but it's like in everybody's face, the mandates and this and that. And the warning for those that are on the fence, I think, is very, maybe even more important than addressing those, maybe, that are sick, that are not listening to this show. Because my message of what to do hasn't changed much other than to acknowledge something that I have a bias against, drugs. But what have I acknowledged with you? You got some ivermectin, and within 24 hours of your first dose, you started getting better. Now, I'm not saying it's the only thing that did it, but I'm not denying that, hey, people that have been doing it and taking it have done well. We have another friend, we're not going to talk about his name right now, that went into the hospital with all the classic COVID symptoms, may still be there. And we were talking about the difference in his recovery being slow and sluggish versus your recovery. Do you want to mention to me what you said was the difference? I thought it was brilliant. Brilliant.
It's hard. I mean, you can't ignore it. But, you know, with my situation, when I went to the hospital, mm-hmm. they kind of kicked me out as soon as they could. Why? Yeah. I don't have health insurance. Mm-hmm. So had I stayed, they wouldn't have gotten paid. And you know, they pretty much figure that, you know, when somebody comes in there without health insurance, I 100% respect and props to the people there that helped me, mm-hmm. because had they not done what they did, who knows what could have happened, right?
They triaged.
I have no complaints. I have no complaints about the care that I got when I was there. But that's the difference between
they weren't me and this
other person
you.
That you're yeah. talking about. Is I'm going to guess this other person has health insurance,
and they kept him inpatient. They didn't send him home with oxygen, right?
Yeah.
And here he is, all of the things that they're doing, poking and prodding and giving him, and then, and it's like, you don't sleep in a hospital. It's brutal. And again, I'm not deriding the people that are trying to help him any more than I deride the people that help him.
To be honest with you, we're not there.
Yeah.
So we don't know for a fact exactly what it is that's going on. It could be that they're doing exactly everything. But in the experience that we've had, the knowledge that we have about what happens in hospitals, mm-hmm. At least we've got to acknowledge the fact that it could be a very bad situation that's going on there too.
So my perspective on that brilliant assessment, what you said to me, I didn't even think about it. It's like, oh my gosh, you're right. You didn't go inpatient. They sent you home with oxygen, and then we had you on the other things that we know, and you were recovering semi-rapidly. Pretty. And remember, Jonathan Emore was asking every day, how's Super Don doing? And then by the next week when you were on, he was like, wow, I'm impressed, Super Don, how fast you're recovering. And yet my buddy, who's similar age, maybe a little older, but similar, kind of a lot of similarities, still in the hospital. And as I said, the most dangerous thing you can have in America is really good medical insurance. This, to me, is an example of that. Not to denigrate anybody's attempts to help anybody. That's not the point of saying it. So, again, I hope, Ron, you appreciate what we're trying to respond to, but I want to wrap it up with a comment of the day here while we still have a moment. So quickly, and then we'll go to bonus round and maybe fill in some things we missed. Here's the comment of the day, Super D.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
RSB and Super D and all your lovable followers. This is from Shane. This year has been rocky at best. I lost my grandma before Mother's Day this year from fighting ovarian cancer, which she was fighting for 3 years, and of which I tried to reach her with nutrition, and I was even going to give her selenium and chromium with also silicon, but out of my own pocket. Sadly, she thought the doctors knew best. Then my grandfather a month later passed a week after Father's Day. A lot of health issues, sadly. Condolences, Shane. I'm sorry that a lot of people have lost people, and you feel it very directly. I can see that. Shane continues, if I could give people some thoughts and hope out there out of this COVID crazy and vaccine mania, as well as doctor related harm, etc. Everyone, please take a step back for a few minutes a day for yourself. Like Robert has said, be selfish. Reflect on all the positive and the blessings that we have in this world, partly because we only have a very short time on this planet. Love your friends and family, your neighbors, and take the time to just smile and be friendly to strangers sometimes when you feel comfortable. There are so much heavy hearts and thoughts and fears we have, and that the media is pushing on all of us. Pray for people that are mean and nasty with you, for hope that whatever they are going through, God helps them. We need more love and forgiveness right now. Be the light. and change you want to see in your part of the world, help forward it on, spread it far and wide. God bless everyone who reads and hears this message. Through love and prayer, we will triumph over fear and tyranny. Well, God bless you, Shane. I appreciate that message. It's a beautiful message to wrap up officially this show as UK Health Radio's got to drop, and we'll be back in 60 seconds with a bonus round. Who knows where we'll go? Thanks, y'all, for being here and participating and supporting this message of health freedom and healing liberty. The power to heal, despite all of the naysayers, is still yours.